Hello, friends. Welcome to Think Jesus Cafe. This is your daily 10. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 19 through 24, the Apostle John wrote the following: "By this we shall know that we are of the truth, and reassure our heart before Him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. And this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He has commanded us. Whoever keeps His commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that He abides in us, by the Spirit whom He has given us." In this section, the Apostle John wants to assure his readers that God hears our prayers. God hears the prayers of His faithful people. In verse 22, John says, "And whatever we ask, we receive from Him." So at this point, John has in mind our authentic communication with God. John initiates this line of thinking in verse 19. John wants to clear up any uncertainty his readers might have about their own standing before God. The apostle begins verse 19 by saying, "By this we shall know." So he's linking our godly love of the brethren found in the preceding verses with assurance in our own hearts that we're in good standing with God. In verse 18, John urged his readers to love others in deed and in truth. In other words, we're to help others with real, practical action that helps them in ways that are in alignment with the truth of their own situation and according to the truth of God. And of course, our efforts to help others, our efforts to love others, ought to be done with the honor and the glory of Jesus Christ being foremost in our mind. When we love others with godly and practical deeds of action, when we turn away from habitual sin in our own lives, and when we live in obedience to the commands, the teachings of God, then our hearts will be set free of doubt as it relates to God. Now, how is this? Why is doubt cast off? Because we can see God working in our own lives, and that gives us increasing confidence. Simply put, as long as sin dominates our hearts, we'll live with doubt concerning our relationship with God, and as long as doubt rises and controls our heart, it'll be difficult, if not impossible, to boldly approach God in prayer. Doubt ceases when believers are walking in faithfulness and obedience because the heart no longer condemns us. Doubt gives way to confidence, and that confidence, that assurance, enables believers to enter God's presence with comfort of mind and certainty of heart. So then, faithful and obedient believers can be confident that God hears our prayers, and we can be confident that we will receive good and perfectly timed answers to our prayers. In verses 20 and 21, the Apostle John says, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him." Now, that is an important word, the word because. Whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. So here we have to take notice of the important link between confidence in prayer and our faithfulness to the commands of God. If a small child, for example, has been disobedient to his father, he can't then run up to his father and ask for favors. The disobedient child will feel reluctant in the presence of his father because of the child's own inner sense of guilt. But we all know that if that child has strived to do all he can to honor, respect, and obey his father, then his conscience is free to come and ask whatever he wants of his father. Okay, the immediate context, my friend, is obedience. The passage actually says, quote, "Whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him." Friend, if we've endeavored with all of our heart to love the Lord and our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, And if we've endeavored to act in a God-pleasing way in all things, we then are entitled to a born-again, saved confidence that enables us to speak with God as we're speaking with a friend. When we have this type of relationship with God, we can have confidence that God loves us and that He listens to those who have that confidence. Now, this is a confidence surrounded in humility. This is not the arrogant type of confidence that is so familiar in the world around us. It's a humble confidence that rises up in people who've learned to bring their minds into conformity with the will of God so that the desires of their own heart are in line with the desires of God. As those God-aligned desires are presented to God, believers have an inner assurance that God hears and answers those prayers. In God's perfect timing, of course, but they will be answered. John returns to this point in chapter 5. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, he writes the following, "And this is the confidence that we have towards Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of Him." My friend, our personal alignment with the will of God is fundamental to our prayers being answered. God answers our requests when our objective is to glorify Him, to promote His rule, and to do His will. God answers every prayer, my friend, but many petitions receive a negative answer. We can hardly expect that God would positively answer our prayers when they're aimed solely at our own ungodly, selfish, prideful self-interests. Jesus made a similar promise to His disciples in John chapter 15, verse 7. He said this, "If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." Now, my friend, all true believers remain in Christ positionally, in the mind of God by virtue of the unchanging promises of God in Christ. If we're in Christ, we're in Christ permanently, positionally. But not all who are in Christ are in healthy fellowship with God. There are times in the Christian life when a person can be out of healthy fellowship with God as a result of their own sinful attitudes and actions. Disobedience disrupts our fellowship with God. Failing to keep God's commandments disrupts our fellowship with God. Habitually sinning and failing to love the brethren disrupts our fellowship and fails to please God. When these sins occur in our life, our position in Christ remains, but our fellowship with God is disrupted. And that disruption negatively impacts our communication with God. Our prayers are disrupted because of our own sinful disobedience. In the context of chapter 3, our prayers are disrupted when we fail to love the brethren in godly ways that would please God. At this point in chapter 3, John is teaching us that answered prayer operates under certain conditions. Those conditions are that we make repeated, decisive, and intentional acts of fulfilling the demands of God to love one another in the name of Christ. And our decisive and repeated acts to love our neighbor as ourselves are continually dependent upon the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. Believing on the name of the Son of God, believing on the name of Jesus Christ, means that we live in obedience and love. And we do that while counting on, depending upon, Christ's authority and power to be operating in our life. Friends, one of the reasons why some people find Christianity to be boring and ineffective is because they're not experiencing any real dynamic Christian living on a daily basis. They're not seeing God work in their own life. An outgrowth of that experience is that these same folks have lost almost all hope that Christianity can ever do or be as glowing and wonderful as they once imagined. In verse 22, the Apostle John says, "Whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him." One of the reasons some people may be disillusioned with Christianity is that they may not be keeping His commandments daily. They may not be doing what pleases God. So they may accuse God of not working, but it's actually their own disobedience that's creating the blockage. And by the way, it does no good to dwell on the failings of other people or the supposed failings of God when we ourselves are living out of sync with the will, character, and purposes of Jesus Christ. In this passage, we have a wonderful picture of the normal Christian life, a life filled with fellowship with God. It's a life centered in prayer, because prayer is a characteristic that's fundamental in the Christian experience. Prayer is an expression of dependence on a loving God, and the whole of the Christian life is to be lived in that dependence, in that continuous attitude and spirit of prayer, that continuous attitude of communion with God. Thank you for joining us in Think Jesus Cafe. This has been your Daily 10, and this is your host, Mark Day. Join us again next time as we think about Jesus, a biblical worldview, and real life.